Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Sometimes I think about the things you have done for me. How you washed away all my sins, set my spirit free. Then I look back on my life. I haven't always done right. Still your goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. I believe I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. When I thought about giving up, you said trust in me. If you hold on and faint not, keep your faith in me. Lord, you don't see me like I am. You see me like I'm gonna be. So I believe I run on, see what the end's gonna be. Hallelujah, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Hallelujah, too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror, too close to the mirror, too close to the mirror to see what you see.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Ms. Sugar, your host moderator for Faith-Based Purpose. Our format has changed a little, but I do think you will enjoy it. I have a message for you this evening. We want you to understand that you might or you might not believe that God is Lord. We're not asking you to change your belief. We believe that God is radical, His love is unconditional, and it's never changing. We don't try to make anyone feel that we are holier than thou. We're all God's children. Some have been broken, but He's putting us back together. All we ask is that you keep an open mind and hear the word of God and let it speak to your heart. If anything is said here on this show and you leave uncertain or confused, we ask you to call in immediately or make a note of the scripture that's provided, and scripture will be provided, and follow God's word, which tells us to study to show yourself approval. Our goal is for you to have and to know the power of God. And you can't get the power of God until you learn how to confront the enemy. Hebrews 11:13-25 says, faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance for what we do not see. And with that said, we are going to have our speakers come on. We have three speakers this evening. We have Minister Melvin Jordan of Tampa, Florida. Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
All right. And we have Reverend Roosevelt Williams. Reverend Roosevelt, how are you this evening?
All right. Good evening, everybody.
Good. We're glad to have you back with us. And Evangelist Williams, how are you?
Good evening. I'm good. God bless you.
Okay. We're going to, as we said, the format has changed. We're going to have a word from each of our ministers, our clergymen on the show today. And if anyone would like to lead us in prayer to get the show started, that would be very much appreciated.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come this evening first off to thank you for your most tender grace and your mercy. Thank you for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for allowing us to go through one more day's journey. And Father, thank you for attending to every need. Now, Lord, if there's anything we've done, forgive us of our sins. But most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung, died, and bled for our sins. Now, Lord, as we come on this show, blessed that it be in the way that you have designed it and you intend it to be. Bless those who are going to speak upon this evening. Let a word be said that someone may be able to come running asking, what must I do to be saved? And let your word go forth that it makes more disciples. And Father, that we let the world know that Jesus still lives. Keep us and guide us in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before, Minister Jordan, before you start, we've had a prayer, but I would like to make a special request for everyone to keep a special young lady in their prayers for me. I think I mentioned to some of you that last month I lost my god sister, and yesterday her oldest child's only child passed, and it's really difficult for her right now. She's just having a really hard time. She lost her mother, and now she's lost her only child, and she's very young, and it's just hard for her. And I ask each of you to add her to your prayer list. Her name is Laquita. To add her to your prayer list and keep her in your prayers.
Amen.
Okay. Minister Williams, Minister Jordan is going to speak to us today. He's going to give us a word. And Minister Jordan, you're going to speak on
keep your eyes on God, no matter how great the obstacles are.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank God this evening for being here again on the Faith-Based line tonight. We thank God for being the creator, the Lord of all, the creator of all things. And we also thank God for sending his son Jesus to pay the ultimate price so that we may have eternal life. But also
Amen.
We thank God for sending the Holy Spirit to be in the comforter until Christ returns for us. We want to say a quick prayer. Father God, as I decrease and you increase in me, give me the words to give to the people, your people, so that they may be uplifted and they can receive a word from you. Amen.
Amen.
First off, for the I want to the panel of the giving, you know, reverence to them, and to also freshen to my bishop, Bishop Jay Pickett, which I know he's listening from Rochester, New York, from the Daystar Faith Ministry there, which I am official in that, Minister Marshall in Tampa, and any of the other Pastor Kite, my uncle in the ministry in Brandon, Florida. I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in, and just want to give reverence to those people and to each and every one of you who is listening tonight to receive a word of God from the three of us. And I'm not going to be long. Tonight, I kind of, you know, seeing what the state of the world is today, we know that we need God more than anything right now. And for us that have been in the army of the Lord, we definitely have to make sure that our armor of God is tightened, real tight. You know, we must make sure that the enemy, and I don't like to refer to the enemy, that guy, you know, doesn't penetrate us and lead us astray. But looking at the state of the world today, everybody needs a word. So I plan on giving you that tonight. We all know that trouble is around us at all times, but we also know that trouble doesn't last always. So being in this world, we know that Christ is coming back to get us, but until then, we must continue to carry on and carry out his word. Even on a personal level, we may be going through some things in our personal life. Some of us may be unemployed. Some of us must be going through death, as the moderator said, you know, keep her godchild in, you know, in prayer. No matter what the situation is, we all know that God is able to do any and all things. You know, Paul said in one of his letters to the church that we don't go through something in this Christian walk, but we must have faith to endure when the trial is presented to us. You know, and in Hebrews 11:1, it also says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mm-hmm. But also in Hebrews 11:6, it also says that for without faith, it is impossible to please him. We know that we've gone through trials in this Christian walk. Some of them have been medium, some have been small, some have been large. But we know as long as we're here on earth, before Christ comes back to rapture us to take us back to heaven, we all know that we're going to continue to go through trials and tribulations each and every day.
Amen.
Some of us, as my uncle would say, if you haven't been through anything, then you can't preach. But the point is, if you haven't been through anything, then something is wrong with you, because when we're here, we know we're going to get attacked. We're going to get attacked at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us have been through, you know, our stories are different. We never know what somebody else went through until they tell us, you know, some greater, some small. Think about a time where you've had a challenge and you were able to overcome that challenge. You know, something small, simple, we don't know what it is, but you were able to do that. But then sometimes there may become a test in your life where we consider it the gravest challenge, you know, the gravest challenge. You know, when I was a child, I used to look at little challenges and I'd be like, well, I think this is probably the greatest challenge that I've had of all. Not to know once I became an adult that the challenges that I had as a child was nothing compared to the things that I would look forward to going through life, and especially take upon the high calling of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and get into the lesson. You can turn to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Yeah. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I'm going to paraphrase this verse. I'm going to read at number 12, and I'll tie everything in just a few minutes. And it reads, O Lord our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we to do, but our eyes are upon thee. In this chapter, we have to look at the first verse. The kingdom of Judah was given. getting ready to be besieged by an enemy. Now, we have to look at who was the king at this time, which was King Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah. And we know, given a little history about Jehoshaphat, that he was devoted to God. He was dedicated to religious reform. He was also a man of diplomatic skill, which he was very shrewd and he was cunning, you know. Also, he was a man of great faith. And also, we also know, if you do your research or you do your studying, that even the rival Philistines had to respect him from a distance. Now, you know you're a bad man when your enemies have to respect you for the way that you carry your diplomatic prowess. So we have to look at Jehoshaphat in this manner. We have to give a little breakdown of what he, the king of Judah at that time. And during that time, the kingdom of Judah was in a peaceful state at that time. You know, in our Christian lives, we will go through periods where we will have some peaceful times. But if we don't go through anything, then how can we tell anybody about how God has been good to us and has brought us through? But at this time, the three tribes, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, were getting ready to ascend upon the kingdom of Judah to take them. Now, keep in mind that Jehoshaphat had defeated these three nations before. You know, one-on-one. That's just like a one-on-one boxing match. It's one-on-one. But you think about it when you get surrounded on all sides of the spectrum. What would you do if you can see your enemy? As my father would tell me when I was young, he's like, if you ever get into a fight, make sure that you have your back against the wall when you're fighting. Okay, Father, Papa, I do understand that. But what do you do is when you don't have a wall and then you're surrounded from all sides? What would you do? What would be your first reaction? Most of our first reaction would be, we would panic. We could just run around with our head cut off like a chicken. There is nothing we wouldn't think. You know, we'd be like running around and, you know, we just, you know, every 1,000 thoughts would be going through our head. But what, you know, I just asked that question. But in a human nature, we know that we know this. But Jehoshaphat, then he didn't panic. He kept calm. And there is 5 points in this scripture text that I want to make when facing a crisis. First, number one, we have to stop. We can't panic. We have to stop. Gather our thoughts. And that's in verse 3, which you can read on your spare time, which I can read that right now. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. We have to stop. You know, a lot of times we probably see situations 1,000 times, and we go back into the memory bank, and just with a blink of an eye, we say we have the solution. But what if we don't have a solution for this problem? We have to stop, number one. Number two, we have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pray without ceasing. In verses 6 to 11, it gives you the prayer that Jehoshaphat had prayed. Now, during this time, it doesn't tell us how long the fast had lasted or how long did they pray. But the point is that we have to pray. Number three, after we pray to the Lord, you know, a lot of times we pray and we want, I think we talked about this last week, about when we pray, we're looking for that instant 30 to 45 second microwave blessing, which God can answer prayer at the blink of an eye, but sometimes we have to wait. Mm-hmm. So my third point out of this text is we have to look, which you can find in verse 12, which was my lead verse. When after we pray, after we get off our knees, we have to look and wait for God to answer us each and every time. We can't jump and be hasty. We have to look toward Him and let Him be the lead. Because when we take over the lead, sometimes we do mess up. Or I'm going to say all the time we're going to mess up because we don't let God lead us. Number four, after guys, we have to listen. We have to listen. We have to open up our hearts. We have to open up our ears, and we have to listen to God. That message may come in many size, shapes, forms, and fashion. So you have to keep your eyes open and recognize when the message comes. In verses 15 through 17, we had the messenger Jehaziel came. After, like I said, we don't know the timeline or how long this lasted. But we know that Jehaziel did come and did give Jehoshaphat a word. So we have to take an account, and we have to just stand fast, and we just have to listen. We just have to listen, wait, and listen, wait, and listen. And when we do get it, we have to receive it. And the fifth point, after we do receive the word of the Lord, verses 18 through 20, we have to praise him. And the 34 Psalms, it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. So whatever he does gives us the word of victory, and we can't doubt that word, because a lot of us, when we do get the word, if it's not to what we think it should be, we're going to look at it foreign, like it's in Chinese. But when we do get the word of the Lord, then we need to praise God and let it know that it's going to be all right. Maybe the solution hasn't been answered right then, but when you get the messages, tell you that it's going to be all right. And a lot of us know that we've been through a lot, and we know that God is able to do any and all things. So we have to praise him, even in the good, even in the bad. We got to praise him.
Amen. So, all right, that's what you do. Okay, go ahead.
I had to breathe for a second. After we praise God, then we can look for the rewards. As you read this story, you'll know that when Jehaziel came to Jehoshaphat and told him, go down there to the brook in the morning. You're not going to fight because the battle belongs to the Lord. And if you read that, I think it's 18 through 20, he tells Jehoshaphat that. And point six is, after we receive the word, we have to be obedient to the word of God. You know, so when the messenger comes, so the message does come, we have to be obedient. So Jehoshaphat, as the story would go on and tell you, Jehoshaphat did as he was instructed. He sunk the choir down there. He didn't send the army first. He sunk the choir down there. He sunk the choir first. And they went through, and the story goes on to tell you that when they went to sing and praising God, that the enemy got confused and killed each other. And once we take all these steps into consideration, we also can receive the spoil. I'll take in between verse 25 through 28, where after the three nations had killed one another, that it took them 3 days to reap in the spoils of victory. That's the term they use in war when you win. It took them 3 days to either gather up everything from the three nations. So going through, to go ahead and get into my final sublimation, this is what I would just want to tell everybody. No matter how great or how small, doesn't matter the size, God is greater than any force in the universe to solve any and all problems. I know somebody may be going through some things, and I'm preaching to myself too. You know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, or sometimes we forget how great and how good God is each and every day. He allows us to eat. He allows us to breathe. Number one, he allows us to open up our eyes to see another day. And you got to think about, there may be someone that can't see, that can't eat, that can't breathe, may have something wrong. Maybe somebody that's not able to even own a cell phone to hear this word. But God is great. God is so good and gracious. He's been so good in my life. And I just, right now, I just thank him for everything that he's doing in my life and for everybody else, that in the long run, it's going to be all right, because we need to be dwelling on heavenly things instead of earthly things. So we may go through a little something right now, but in the end, it's going to be all right. And my last statement is for everybody, that we must continue to give the word of God at all times. People want this word. They're hungry for this word. And we, as we have taken on the oath, we've taken on the promise to God that we're going to spread this, we're going to go out into the highways and hedges and spread this word to his people. And in Matthew 28:19, it says, go you out into the nations and preach and proclaim the gospel. I'm kind of paraphrasing that. But we have to do this. This is the part of my ministry. This is what I'm here for to do. Because Lord knows there's been three times when the enemy tried to stuff me out. But I'm able here to tell you that he didn't succeed, and God was there, and he brought me through. And he's brought me to this point. And now in my life right now, I'm just so happy that I'm able to bring the gospel to my peers, to my friends, my family, and just to proclaim that God is,
God. Amen. All right. Yes, we really appreciate that. Minister Jordan, we really do appreciate that. That was a powerful word. And that word was, Minister Jordan spoke on, keep your eyes on God when obstacles seem great. After this break, we're going to come back, and Reverend Roosevelt Williams is going to follow up with what to do when your midnight comes.
It's the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Taylor, and Favor, and hosted by Pastor Kim Burrell, Saturday, September 14th at Friendship West Baptist Church, 2020 West Wheatland Road in Dallas. Get your tickets now at Friendship West Baptist Church. Call them at 972-228-5200 and Chase Spivey Productions.
Okay, that was a Jay Spivey production announcement. And again, Minister Jordan, that was a powerful word, and I know it helped me, especially right now, because I know I'm going through a lot, trying to help others with what they're going through, so that really helped me. Reverend Williams, what do we do when our midnight comes?
Amen. As the minister was saying, you know, we run into a lot of things in our lives, and in our lives, we have to know how do we handle the things that come. And I like what he was talking about, keeping your eyes on God when obstacles come. And one thing about it is this evening, piggybacking off of what he was talking about, is that when obstacles come, they turn into a midnight. And the thing is that identifying what is a midnight and how did the midnight come. And in our lives, you look at midnight as a course of between 11 and 1 o'clock. And there sits midnight at 12. And one thing about it is that when you're looking at midnight, that is the darkest hour there is. And when the darkest hour comes, that's when you really can't even see unless there's a full moon. But if you go real quickly, if you have your Bibles, everyone go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. And we're going to look at we're going to talk the whole thing, but we're going to home in on verse 25, chapter 16 in the book of Acts, beginning at verse 25. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. So when we begin to talk about midnight, we're talking about the obstacles that come our way. let me put it like this here. The book of Acts is the act of talking about the movement and the power of the Holy Ghost, but also looking at the movement of how God worked it in people's lives. The Holy Ghost gave power that people come to Christ, but God also worked it in power that the apostles were able to deliver and preach the word of God, that people come to Christ and live their life as an example of that. And the one thing about it is that before they were called Christian, they were called the Way, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And not only that, they were called Christians at Antioch. It was used to try to humiliate them. But God wants us to stand up as true believers and as Christians of God. So when we look at our lesson, one thing you have to identify, what is the midnight? And to all of us, it's the troubles that come our way. And put it like this here, you could be somewhere out or you could be somewhere even in your home, and all of a sudden a fire come up in your house. That's a midnight when you have to evacuate and your house is burning down. There you could get a call that a loved one has passed away or died, that's in the hospital or within a car wreck. That's a midnight. And one thing about it, you have to understand that midnights don't only come just in the nighttime. They come even in the daytime, because even just as well as we get up in the morning and folks leave to work, many people get up and start on their way. I went to work and didn't know I was going to have a heart attack. That was midnight.
Yes, amen.
The thing is that in the course of the day, a lot of folks then got up and went to work, got their coffee, got their donuts, singing happy songs, and then get to work, and the boss call you in the office and tell you we have to let you go. Even when we're looking at all the troubles that's going on in our lives, you can drive home thinking everything is all right, you even got through all the other havoc, and there's a pink slip sitting in your box of the man standing at your door with the wrench in his hand ready to cut your lights off or your bills off. That's a midnight. But understanding that not always your midnight fits in someone else. Some small things may happen in people's lives, and to them it's big. But to us, we like, that's mine. But a midnight is the tragedy that you go through on how you feel and how you take it. And so God wants us to be able to understand, how do you get through your midnight? How do you deal with your midnight? And the first thing we're going to look at, trying to get through this real quick as possible, is that looking at the characters in our lesson. When you look at the characters, you have Paul, you have Silas, and then you have the people that's in jail, you have the jailer, even though you have the magistrate. But the most of all, you got God. And the one thing is that when you look at the story, if you start all the way up to the top of our lesson, the story starts off with that Paul and them had some good intentions. Their intentions was all over in the verses, still in chapter 16. It says at verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over in Macedonia and help us. His whole intention was go to Macedonia. And the thing is that a lot of times our intentions is not always God's intention. And one thing we always have to remember is that you always want to be in God's will, because even Jesus in the garden had to face his own flesh. He had to deal with getting ready to go up on the cross, and he had to go and pray and say, not my will, but thy will. And Paul's intention was going to Macedonia, okay? And in Macedonia, in that country, was the capital, which they called Philippi. And so when he gets to Philippi, oh, everything is all green. in our lives, everything is green. And I always tell people, they ask me, how you doing? And I say, I'm doing fine, until. And folks say, what kind of negative stuff is that? Because you always, as the preacher was saying just a few minutes ago, you're not trying to give him credit or the war, but you still got to recognize that Satan is always on his jaw. And here Paul and them goes to Macedonia, and they have a little small mini revival there. And as they had this little revival there, there was one woman by the name of Lydia come to Christ, and Paul and them having a good time. But then the Bible always tells us, when I'm trying to do good, evil is always present. You can rest assured, just as well as you trying to do something good, evil is always going to come. For even in the book of Job, that God asked Satan, where does thou go? He said, to and fro. He was looking who, the Satan comes to look for whoever he may devour. And one thing about it is that God said, have you tried my servant? One thing you always have to remember, as a Christian, as a believer, if you believe, you have faith, as the preacher was saying, you got to live on the word of God, and you got to have faith in it. And that is, God is trying to say, when you're going through a midnight, when things come your way, a lot of times we think things come our way because we've done something. Because in those days, they thought that every time somebody had something on them, it's because they done did something. But sometimes God trying to let you know, I am allowing you to go through something for the testing of your faith.
Yes.
It's because I want to build for you, but not only to build for you, but you've got to be able to help somebody else too. Real quickly, when you look at it, Paul and them is there having a mini revival, and there's a woman who comes full of the devil, a soothsayer. She was what you call those palm readers that you see, telling fortunes. They could tell fortunes and everything else. And this woman walking up behind Paul and them night and day, all right? And here Paul and them every day, every hour, this woman behind, oh, you men of God. And Paul got sick of them. Paul got tired of them. And so Paul turns around and casts that spirit out of them. And when I'm trying to do good, evil is always present. And the one thing about it, Paul was trying to do something good. And evil is walking behind him. And you can rest assured evil going to bring evil right along with him. And when you look at the word evil, put a D in front of it because that is nobody but the devil. And the one thing about it, when you look at it, Paul began, when they looked at this, and the men of the town, her masters, they were mad because they were making money off of this woman. It had nothing to do about Paul and them casting. It's because Paul didn't mess with their money. Just like when Jesus went over and cast out the demon of the man that was up in the mountain running naked and everything. When he cast out and he put the demons in the swine, the people got mad because why? Jesus messed up their money business. And so here they go and get the magistrates of the town. And so that they can get Paul and them in trouble, they didn't tell them the full truth. They didn't mess with our money. They had to say these men come preaching some unknown stuff they ain't even supposed to be preaching. They teaching customs which are not lawful to us to receive. And so here they going, you have to remember, Satan always going to build up a lie in order to persecute. In the book of Acts, Christians were getting persecuted not because they were just nice people. It's because they loved Jesus. And when you love Jesus, people are always going to try to do something to hurt you. Life, Satan is like this. God gives and allows him a leeway, and he's going to try to take the best advantage of trying to hurt you, trying to destroy you, trying to kill you. He's not getting ready to come to shake hands, sit down, and have a fish dinner with you. His whole thing is to tear your life up. His whole thing is trying to destroy you. And so here, Paul comes and casts out this demon, and here they are taken in the middle of the street. They are beaten and humiliated, and here, folks watching, your life is that every time an obstacle comes your way, every time you're going through midnight, Satan is trying to humiliate you in front of your friends, trying to abuse you, trying to make you walk with your head down. But as his man said, you got to walk with your head up and say, you always got to go in, because one thing about it, it says in our verse, at midnight, Paul. Now look at it. Sometimes we go through things because we have done something. Paul was in this midnight because the same thing that he used to put on people before he was called Paul, his name was Saul. And Saul was always dragging somebody off the jail, always trying to stood there and watch the first martyr get killed. Now Paul got to deal with the same thing he put on others. Now he's got to deal with it. Sometimes we have to deal with some things we've done in our past. But as the man was saying, you got to still praise God in the midst of it, because God chastises those whom he loves. But now, let's look at Silas, who hadn't done anything. If you read about Silas, Silas hadn't done one thing. But now, there's an old saying my mother used to say, and I hear other folks say it, you are known by the company that you keep. And the company that you keep sometimes gets you in trouble. I'd rather get in trouble hanging with something good than get in trouble hanging with something bad. Folks always going to jail because they've been hanging around some bad company. But if I'm going to get persecuted, let me get persecuted because I hang around some good folks. Some folks that people didn't like. I'm going to do a little country called some good folks. Not people. People get you in trouble. Some good folks. And so here, Paul and Silas, sitting, getting beat in the middle of the street, put in the prison, not just thrown in prison. They throw them in the farthest part. God, this is what Satan tried to do. He tried to knock you down and take you to the farthest part of the earth he can put you. Even in the prodigal son, the Bible talks about the young boy that ran away. He went to the farthest part of the earth that he could go. Jesus was talking about a lost coin. It rolled into the darkest part of the house. It takes nothing but a light to find it. And here, Satan wants to, they put them in the darkest part of the cell where it's nothing but mud, water, stain, just filthy. And here they are, beaten. And nobody's sitting there hollering about, oh, woe is me. Because that's what Satan wants you to do, is look at your obstacle. He wants you to look at your midnight, look at all the beatings that you done took, and want you to soak in it. He wants to throw you into the darkest part of a cell. And not only that, they put chains on it. Just as a slave would put a chain around your neck. In our lives, Satan puts a chain around our neck. Every time we look at the news, we always see something bad. Every time tragedy comes in our lives, we think our life is just over with. But God wants you to know, I'm still there. There's a song a young man say, I'm going to praise him in the midst of it. And here it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? They become to pray and sing praises unto God. And here God is trying to get you to understand, can you praise me in the midst of anything that's going on with you? Whether it's good, whether it's bad. Job White came and said, won't you curse your God and die? Job said, shall we love God for the good and not for the evil? In other words, God didn't make evil. He allowed evil to happen. And people always say, God don't do this, God is this. God is a loving God, but still we got to go through the trials and tribulations that come in our lives. And not only that, there is reasons and purposes. And not only that, God's, we want to be in our reason and our purpose. We want things, as the man said, we want microwave blessings. We want to get, but never want to give or never want to take. Relationships, marriage is a give and it's a take. Just because it's not going the way we want it, not just because the cycle ain't the way we want to think that happiness is always flowers and roses. No. Paul and them was in the midst of a cell. They was in it going through their midnight hour, beaten up, shackled, locked up, can't see the world, darkness upon them. And here, we have to understand there are reasons God puts us in certain positions, because here Paul and them preaching the gospel, singing songs, having a mini revival, and God wants us to understand. Can you only praise God when you're out of something, you just in your little freedom, your own little world? Well, the Bible says, tells us one thing, hold fast to the profession. If you profess that you're a godly person, that you love God, you have to hold fast to that which you profess. There was a young girl, long time ago, the man came to church with a gun and held all of them hostage at a watch night meeting. And he pointed a gun at this young girl. And I cry almost every time I think about it. He asked, do you believe in God? She said, yes. And he said, well, tell him I say hi when you get there and shot the little girl. The girl went on her faith, not worried about what was looking at her, not worried about what was going on. It was her midnight, and she held on to it. No, she didn't come out of her situation physically, but she came out of her situation spiritually, and that is standing on God. And that's what God wants us to do. Just because your house done got burned up, just because some loved one done passed away, it hurts. But God loved them more than you could ever love them, because he created them. But he wants us to understand, be in this world, but don't be of the world. Hurt, but always give God some praise in the midst of your losses. And so here Paul and them in the deepest part of a jail. Now look at here. There were people who was also in there with them. You have to set yourself an example. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Just like the thief was on the cross with Jesus. You call yourself the Son of God, won't you save us and yourself too? But Jesus had to keep an example of who he is. And we have to keep an example, because people always want to mock you. You go telling somebody you're a God-fearing person, taking books and Bibles and crosses, walking all over the place, they're going to get ready to mock you. And let something happen in your life and you go walking in disbelief. Yeah, old self-righteous Christian, how come you don't believe now? So here God wants us to understand, we have to keep ourselves as an example. Just because things don't go our way, just because we hadn't got our microwave blessing, just because things didn't happen the way I like it, doesn't mean God ain't in it. He just didn't give you everything that you wanted. But it doesn't say you stop having faith and believing. He's going to give it to you. But it's done in its own season. Paul then had to sit there, okay, until midnight. Paul them had to sit there until God decides he was going to release him. Because God has a purpose in their life. God has a purpose in all our lives. Not being an example unto those. People used to ask me, how come you always could smile all the time? I said, to be mad ain't going to do no good. Because ain't nobody can. Satan don't care if you mad. They having a good time if they see you mad. That's what the world loves. Misery loves company. So here, Paul and them sitting in jail, beaten up and bleeding, scars all over the back, but understanding reasons and purposes. Paul and them went to have a revival, but not knowing they having another mini revival. And in that jail, Paul and them began to do what God wants us to do, have a mini revival. Have a revival if by yourself. Jesus said, well, two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst. Have a revival, no matter what you're going through. They tell you terminated, you fired, you know you ain't did nothing. Have a mini revival, praising God. Mm-hmm. And Paul had to go into, you know, preachers try to put it in the thing of, look here, Paul. Paul had to say, look here, Silas, since my name began with P, I'm going to do the prayer. Sina, since your name again with S, you can go on and sing a song. But whatever it is, we getting ready to praise God.
Amen.
And one thing about it, when Paul began to pray, I don't see Paul standing there. Lord, get us out of this situation. Lord, don't let us go. I can only see Paul saying, Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. We've been beaten, but you didn't kill us. You hadn't allowed us to be dead yet.
Amen.
Because one thing about it, even with James, even with Peter and James, they say we count it worthy. Joy is when you can be able to count your blessings, not looking at the physical, but looking at the spiritual is happiness. In the midst of anything, I don't care if you're going through a divorce. Some folks sitting up there crying, I woman, my woman. And God trying to probably release you from a devilish person. I try to do my best to mend my marriage. But if I see there's no hope and they're ready to go and they're going on about their way, I'm getting ready to look at it another way. But, Lord, you got a blessing somewhere. If I got released from my jaw, Lord, you're blessing me somewhere. I'm hurting my chest. Can't even hardly work. Can't hardly walk. Every time I take a step, my chest hurts. Lord, you blessing me somewhere. And one
all
thing
right,
I have to learn is
okay, Ron, your summation on what to do when your midnight comes.
One thing you always have to do in your summation, in the summation is, in the midst of it all, always give God praise by praying and singing a song in the midst of it. But not only that, knowing that God is going to open the door, because out of that, somebody is going to get some help, somebody else is going to get some hope, and out of that, a man was saved, which was the God who was going to kill himself. And God wants us to be able to be an example to others, because God's whole thing is trying to save every, that song we sing, I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody who can save anybody. And
amen.
One thing you have to, God is in the saving and delivering business. God
amen.
Bless you and may keep you.
Amen. Right here, we do appreciate that word that was, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm going to play a song here. And when we come back, Evangelist Patricia Williams is going to speak on God's word.
Amen.
Amen.
Fella say gotta be an example, because things may be bad or things may be good, but no matter what's going on in my life, I got to act the way I should.
Working for the Lord is a 24-hour job. And that it's not in what you say or in the songs that you sing that defines your relationship with the Lord, but it's rather in the way that you live. Ooh. And not only that, but we gotta learn to love one another, because Jesus is love. It's my job. Yeah. So saints, we gotta stop playing church and begin to start living what we preach about. It's your job.
We're back on Faith-Based Purpose, and we've had a word from Minister Melvin Jordan and Reverend Roosevelt Williams. Now we're going to have our last speaker, which is Evangelist Patricia Williams, speaking on God's Word.
God bless you. Men of God, I certainly have enjoyed you this evening. I'm just going to talk briefly on God's Word. Glad to be able to be on the talk show this evening, because I had oral surgery on Tuesday. Bit under the weather, but I hope that you can understand. And my speech is a little slurred, it's because I'm missing part of my mouth. We're going to go to Psalms 119 and 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We have to, first of all, hide the word of God in our heart. It is so important for born-again believers to hide the word in their hearts. If and only if we are full of God's word can we live and give life to others. So many times in our Christian walk of life, we try to impart us into others. Well, it just kind of won't work, because when we empty our flesh and give our own thoughts and ideas, it just adds really to what the person is dealing with, which doesn't help the situation. But if we're full of God's word and they need strength or they need something, we can pour from us, which is the word of God, into them and cause them to live. Now, the word of God has strength. Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." God's word is here to stay. Everything else is unsure. But since the word is God, we can certainly trust it. Our theme today is putting our trust in what we see, in things, and in stuff. But it behooves us to put our trust, our trust is that we see only with our spiritual eyes. If we see it in the spirit, it's so different than we see in our natural flesh. Jesus told Thomas, and you know the story, we call him Doubt Thomas, but the Bible didn't call him Doubt Thomas. In John, St. John 20 and 29, Jesus told Thomas, he said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." We always want to see something first, but if the word of God says it, I can just believe it. In Luke, so we know that we have strength in his word. The word of God has power. In Luke 4, chapter 32, it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." So many times we say things and you don't, and we're talking about the word of God, like the men of God that came on before Minister Jordan, and Minister Williams, you could feel something else speaking from the inside of them. How many times have we gone to an assembly or church and the word was ministered? That was ministered, was really powerful. It was so powerful that you couldn't sit down. You may have been tired when you went in, but you was able to stand the whole time simply because the words that were spoken gave life. They were powerful. It's such a difference in us flowing in the power of God, us just talking from our own self. Amen?
Amen.
You left, you felt differently. This is how you know that the power of God had something to do with what went on in the assembly. The word of God is powerful. We can believe it. We can believe the word. You know, sometimes we're having situations that I heard. Minister Williams, it's just talk up to me. The word is just very exciting, but it's just so comical. There's things that just make me laugh. It's the truth, but I just can't help but laugh because he's put so much emphasis in what he's explaining. The word of God, in John 17 and 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Man might lie, but God's word is truth. So we need his word on today. God is not a liar. So the word of God is truth. And whoever ministers the word of God, they have to minister it in sincerity and in truth. Man will deceive us. No man to deceive us because they're flesh like we are. But you've become born again and get full of God's word, then you don't have a lying tongue. The things that you speak of God, and they are truth. Now, we know that the word gives us wisdom. And in Colossians 3 and 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word let mean we have to allow the word of God to stay in us. If it dwells in us, we can have his word to minister out into others. How can I do that, one might say? Well, if you keep your temple clean, Jesus will live inside of you, because we have to understand that it's not really us speaking God's word, but if his word is in us, then we can speak his word in truth. In 1 John 2, verse 5, it says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. See, we've got to have the word in us. It's so important for born-again believers and for Christians and for saints and for God's people to allow the word to dwell in us. So many of us are not life givers. We're not life givers because we're so full of everything else. It's so important. We've been in conferences and church anniversary Friday night, all day Saturday night, all day Sunday. And in every session that we encountered, the word of God came forth in an awesome way. So when you're full of the word, you can, you know, minister out the word. The word will make us become perfect, 1 John 2 and 5 says. The word will perfect the love of God on the inside of us. So just to give you just a little overview of the word of God, we have to have it. It causes us to have strength. The word has power. The word of God is truth. The word gives us wisdom. And the word makes us become perfect. And that's it.
Okay. Amen. Well, that was powerful. That was enough. She said, that's it. That was great. That was great. All right. Well, does anyone have any announcements they need to make at this time?
I have one.
Okay.
Beginning tomorrow night, the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, our Miriam Circle, which is women full of the Holy Ghost, will be speaking. We have two speakers each night in revival at 3930 Sonora in Dallas, Texas, 75216. And if anybody would like to come out and join us, if you're in the area, invited to do so. This is at one of our fellowship pastors' church, Eller Lawrence Morrison. We'll be sponsoring this women's revival. And we have two speakers each night, and we'll be coming from Jeremiah, I think 8 and 32, is there no balm in Gilead? And we intend to have an awesome time. And on Saturday, the 20th, we will be selling barbecue plate lunches at 1618 Exeter in Dallas, Texas, 75216. Our pastor is Elder James Williams, and this benefit will go toward our new church. So if you are in the area, again, would love to eat some home-cooked barbecue potato salad, baked beans, homemade pies and cakes and whatever, come out and fellowship with us, and we will also be witnessing to people. So we're just going to have church that day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I enjoyed this evening's program, and I want to thank each of you for being a part of it. And it
Amen.
Has really helped me, and hopefully, well, we know that it will help someone if they just listen and hear with their hearts. I just know it will help someone.
Amen.
Amen.
We will be back next Monday at 6:30 p.m. Central Time.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, and I want to wish everyone a good night.
Good night, God bless you guys. I enjoy it.
Good night, God bless you.
All right.